I'm delighted now to welcome Naomi Rose. She's the author of the book Tibetan Tales from the Top of the World, and she will be signing books and speaking about her work at the ARC Bookstore this coming Saturday, November 7th from 2 to 4 right here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So this is the second book in the series of children's stories from Tibet. The first one was Tibetan Tales for Little Buddhas, and they are deceptively profound and wise and beautiful stories. How did you collect them?
I'm so happy to hear you see it that way. These are actually wisdom tales for all ages that were told for hundreds of years in Tibet, and they were passed down in the oral tradition. And just in the more recent times, when the Tibetans have left their homeland to search for freedom, they brought these tales with them, and then slowly they've been written down, actually by my Tibetan teacher, wrote them down for the first time for an adult collection, and then he asked me to start translating them for children in our country.
So the books are a wonderful, beautifully illustrated, first of all, and they're bilingual. They're in English and Tibetan.
Yes, isn't that beautiful?
So I suppose for both for little American and English-speaking kids, but also for Tibetan-American kids mm-hmm. who maybe were born here, but whose parents came from Tibet.
Right. This has been a great joy for them to see their stories in their language.
So the first book that you wrote, Tibetan Tales for Little Buddhas, has a story in it that I have never forgotten, which is about basically a little child has good things and bad things happen to him, and the wise person in his life always says, well, how do you know that's good? And something good can very quickly turn into not such a good thing and vice versa. Mm-hmm. The advice contained in that is something that I was saying before, if I had learned that, if I had heard this story as a child, I think it would have completely changed the way I lived, especially my young adult life. Mm.
Yes. Yes, me too. And all of the stories in both books are meant to have that sort of effect. They're on one level, they're entertaining and fun, and then there's other layers and layers of wisdom that kind of come maybe even subliminally, especially for children. But that's the intention, and that's the magic of a true wisdom tale, is that they actually reach different people at different levels at different times.
And like many children's stories and fairy tales that really aren't children's stories and so on, as you come back to them at different times in your life, you see things that are new. You never really use them up.
That's so true. In fact, I even have learned some things about these stories after I've written them and illustrated them. I've had children say to me, like this one story I read from the first book, I asked the kids, as I always do when I go to school visits, what did you get out of it? And one of them said, that's a story about forgiveness. This is the middle story. And I was just like, oh my gosh, you're right. I hadn't even thought of that.
And it is interesting that in these stories, you have aggression and anger, and you also have introspection, which we don't always, as a culture here in this country, we don't always have or we don't always value.
Right. And that's so important to me in my work in the world, is helping to cultivate peace within ourselves. As the Dalai Lama says, we can't have peace outside if we don't have peace inside. And so that's what my work is in the schools as well as in my writing and illustrating.
Do you teach?
I go into schools I bring a program called Taste of Tibet, and I do all sorts of things, including reading from the books and talking about the peaceful and kind ways of the Tibetan people.
I find it fascinating that you don't speak Tibetan, you've never been to Tibet, and yet these stories, well, you tell me, how do Tibetan people resonate to them?
I've gotten 100% positive responses from the Tibetan people, which is very meaningful to me. And I've checked them out all along with different Tibetan advisors. So they say this is very authentic Tibetan wisdom, as well as the paintings. And they're also very grateful to me that I'm actually helping to preserve their culture.
So tell us about the paintings.
The paintings. I love doing the paintings. I set up in my easel and I play Tibetan chants, and I put intention with each stroke to bring in the intention again of cultivating peace as I'm working.
Have you studied Tibetan art? Is that part of your own training as an artist?
No, not at all. I've studied, I have a degree in a bachelor's in fine arts, so that's where I studied painting.
How do the young people who are reading these stories, how do they respond to them?
They really love them. It's almost like they're hungry for it. They're hungry for something different, something that's talking about ways of peace, something gentle. It's also very fun and exciting writing, but there's something else that they get to the children. They really love them.
In the new book, Tibetan Tales from the Top of the World, the first story is about a ruler of a region who has a really bad attitude about the next region over. This is something familiar and perhaps universal.
Right, right. And that was a very fun one for me to create, that story, and work with the wisdom from that. Yeah, and I will be reading from that one at the ARC on Saturday.
And in it, there are lessons about, I mean, I think this is the other thing, that these tales have a kind of resonance for ourselves, not only as human beings in relationship to one another, but also as people involved or engaged in one level or another in political life.
Yes.
When you have an attitude toward another group politically, how fixed is that, and what is it based on?
Right. And by doing that, what are you eliminating? The other possibilities of peace and gentleness. And just how the Dalai Lama regards China is just a beautiful gift and message for all of us, I think.
How does the Dalai Lama regard China at this point?
He will not regard them as enemies. And he and all the Tibetans will not hate the Chinese government or the Chinese people, even though there's been some very, very upsetting things that have happened. So I find that very inspiring. They pray for the well-being of the Chinese all the time.
The Dalai Lama wrote the foreword to this book. How did that come to pass?
That was through my publisher, Clearlight Publishing. They, Harmon Houghton and Marcia Keegan, know him personally for many, many years. So he actually wrote the foreword for both books.
So this book is published by Santa Fe's own Clear Light Publishers. Marcia Keegan has been on this show many times, and it's a wonderful publishing company that, among other things, does very, very fine and beautiful printing. This is a book that people can touch and hold in their hands and look at it. It's the printing part is also kind of a work of art.
Yes, they're very committed to high-quality books. I really appreciate that.
Naomi Rose, we have a few minutes left. Would you like to read one of your stories or part of one of your stories?
Sure, sure. I'd be happy to. Shall I read the second one?
Sure.
Since I'm reading the first one at the ARC.
Okay.
Okay. This one is called Sonam and the Stolen Cow. The forest flickered with morning frost. Young Sonam sprinkled dye into a large pot that simmered on the fire. The liquid turned crimson, perfect for her robes. She'd been a nun for only a year, but already their color had faded. Sonam stirred her garments into the bubbling concoction. Om Vajra Sattva Hum, Om Vajra Sattva Hum, she chanted. Coo, coo, hoo, warbled the songbirds in reply. Coo, coo, hoo. Footsteps pounded on the path. Sonam tensed as a group of villagers marched toward her. What's the matter? She asked. We're searching for a thief, said a plump woman. She sized up Sonam with her eyes. How strange you live here all alone. Why don't you stay in the village or monastery with others? I live here to chant and meditate, said Sonam. That's all. The woman snooped inside the pot of boiling crimson. Blood and guts, she cried. She pointed at Sonam. You stole the baby cow. You're cooking it right here. The gang closed in on Sonam, shaking their fists. You're mistaken, said Sonam in quick gulps. My robes are in the pot. She tried to back away, but two villagers flung her to the ground. Stay right there, commanded one man. He turned to the others. Find a judge to sentence her. I'll keep guard through the night. The villagers hurried off. I'm not a thief, cried Sonam as she rubbed her hip. The guard crouched on a log and glared. We caught you red-handed. Sonam's tears burned. How could they accuse her of stealing? She was devoted to kindness, not thievery. When the sun dropped low in the sky, the forest became a world of shadows. Sonam's stomach ached with hunger. I need food, she said. The guard spat. Who knows how many stolen animals you've eaten? A thief like you can suffer an empty belly for once. Stop calling me a thief, yelled Sonam. Wait, she thought. Anger is not my way. Sonam tried to chant to calm herself. Om Vaj, Om Vaj, but the syllables couldn't squeeze through her tight throat. She buried her head in her hands. Soon a strange noise buzzed in the woods. Zzz. The guard had fallen asleep. A chance to escape. Sonam slipped past the guard and crept up a trail. How dare they accuse me of stealing, she seethed. Now I'm forced to flee like a criminal. Her fury gathered steam with each step. She tried to chant, but only wails escaped. I hate them, I hate them. The words tasted foul. Sonam collapsed in a heap.
And we'll have to leave it there for now. Naomi Rose is author of the book Tibetan Tales from the Top of the World, with beautiful illustrations by her. And she will be speaking at the ARC Bookstore this Saturday, November 7th, from 2 to 4, right here in Santa Fe. Thank you so much for being on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz features Artist of the Month for November, Jim Hall.